Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week we hear from Dr. Tanya Crist, Assistant Professor of Reading and Language Arts at Oakland University. She does research involving collaborative peer video analysis, literacy assessment, and literacy instruction. Welcome, Dr. Crist.
Hi, Betsy. It's nice to be here.
Good to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us some background on collaborative peer video analysis and literacy assessment and literacy instruction.
Well, collaborative peer video analysis is the term that we use to refer to a particular kind of practice that we do in teacher education. Teachers videotape their literacy instruction and assessment practices, and then they choose small clips from those videotapes to share with their teaching colleagues. Their colleagues watch the videos and they provide feedback, generating new ideas about their literacy teaching and assessment practices. I first became interested in using collaborative peer video analysis during my doctoral studies at the University of Buffalo under Michael Kibbe and Deborah Deckert, who were using video at the time to foster teachers' reflective practices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's been a series of these kinds of studies, I guess. I've been familiar with multimedia cases. But in this scenario, the teachers are their own case, right? They're bringing them in to professional development or graduate classes and saying, this is how I taught, let's talk about it.
Exactly.
In your article, you talk about ineffective reading instruction contributing to low student achievement. Recent policies and No Child Left Behind, all those have really been efforts to address low student achievement. How do you feel that collaborative peer video analysis might foster teacher development, professional development, literacy instruction? What have you found in this study?
Well, the research seems to suggest that teachers are really the key element in fostering children's literacy achievement. Given that teacher education and teacher development are really critical pieces of improving students' literacy achievement. Mm-hmm. And video really offers some unique ways of improving teachers' practices. One way that we found it really helps is that teachers are able to see what happens in a real-time kind of context in order to suggest ways for the teacher who's sharing her video to help her students learn more effectively.
Mm-hmm. So there'd be, a teacher could feasibly videotape her own practice and watch it herself, but you're saying there's some added benefit to them bringing it to a group of teachers and seeing each other's videos.
Exactly. So by collaborating, teachers are able to add multiple perspectives and generate new ideas together. Mm-hmm. For example, there was one teacher, Chelsea, who was really surprised that her student was able to read orally well, but yet her mother had suggested that she was having reading difficulty. And after watching the video in a small group, another teacher, Jane, was able to point out that while the child was able to decode the words or recognize the words in print, the child wasn't really making meaning. So without that meaning-making process, that was why the parent knew that the child was having difficulty with reading. So to be able to analyze what's going on in the reading context in real time and be able to then suggest ways, different ways of viewing, understanding, or changing the practices.
Yeah, I can almost see a new social media of teachers getting on and sharing their video and asking people to collaborate and give them ideas and insights to help them reflect on what am I doing here? What can be done better?
Actually, I found we've started doing this with our undergrad students as well, mm-hmm. and I found that often they're really eager to share their videos because they really want the feedback from one another.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Another aspect of this is the reviewing process. So teachers take their videos home, they watch them, and they reflect on them by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But then through the process of watching the video yet a second or third time as they're sharing with colleagues, they're able to actually generate more ideas through that reviewing process. And sometimes the purposes for which they share the videos shift. So they may have had a question that wasn't quite clearly articulated yet, and they might be able to more directly articulate what it is they really want to know. Or sometimes they're sharing something that was successful, and in the process they notice yet another problem. Mm-hmm. We had an example where one teacher was sharing a video in which the student was doing a really good job decoding the words, and yet when she reviewed it again, she noticed that there were real fluctuations in the prosody, in the rate that the student was reading. And so then she began to wonder about that as well. Why was that happening? So through the reviewing process, teachers are able to clarify their purposes for viewing and sharing the videos and also generate other new ideas as well.
So what do you, now that you've done the study, what do you tell teachers?
Well, for teachers, I think it's highly valuable to videotape your own practices and watch them, but also to share them with other colleagues and get feedback from those colleagues in terms of understanding the processes that are happening. What is the reader doing? What am I doing? How are these things impacting the learning that's happening or maybe not happening?
I can see this is a wonderful study tool just even within the school to form a group of teachers who want to have these kind of discussions.
Absolutely. And I think there are some particular things that you can do to make these discussions more successful. For example, allowing the discussion to unfold rather than having it very rigidly structured. So some previous research has suggested you identify one problem and try to solve the problem. And our collaborative peer video analysis sessions are much more flexibly structured, and that allows things to happen, like the purposes to shift, or teachers to notice things and provide feedback about things that maybe the teacher sharing the clip hasn't even noticed yet.
Yeah.
And so that flexible, open kind of structure can be very helpful in terms of broadening the content of the conversation.
Yeah. So what are the implications for parents here?
Well, I think for parents, sometimes parents are really concerned about their kids being videotaped, and with good reason.
Right.
But if children are being videotaped so that teachers can reflect on their practices and parents know that these videos won't be shown publicly or put on the internet, et cetera, I would really encourage parents to allow teachers to videotape their classroom practices, including videotaping the kids, because without seeing the dynamic interactions between teachers and children, it's very difficult to understand what's going on in terms of what's supporting or not supporting student learning.
It almost be interesting to have the parents in the dialogue with the teachers as they review the videos.
We've actually just planned a study where we'll have the teachers share with the parents some of the video clips from instruction to share some of the school-based practices with parents.
Great. Great. What do you tell principals? What's their role in this?
Well, principals really could create the time, the space, and the resources to allow for a practice like collaborative peer video analysis within schools. So creating in-service days or extra prep periods during which time teachers could meet, share their videos, and discuss them. Buying video cameras and computers if the school doesn't already have them so that teachers can engage in these practices would be helpful as well.
Yeah. And implications for policymakers?
Well, policymakers could also provide incentives for collaborative peer video analysis type discussions and move toward in-service training that would include these kinds of practices as well.
Yeah. Where do you go next with this? What's your research going to follow along?
Well, right now we're actually looking at the next step. How do teachers actually apply these ideas that they generate during collaborative peer video analysis? So we're tracking the application of these ideas in their actual teaching after the collaborative peer video analysis sessions. And also, we're looking at the relation between professor-facilitated conversations about videos and these collaborative peer video analysis sessions so that we can see what the relation may be between how a professor facilitates one kind of video-based conversation and then how teachers engage in those conversations later.
Yeah, that'll be interesting for all of us teacher educators.
The final follow-up study that we're planning actually tracks the ways that teachers are taught during teacher education courses, teachers learning across these contexts, and then student outcomes. And that's more of a long-term kind of study that we're planning for the future.
Well, Dr. Tanya Crist from Oakland University, we thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can find the work of Dr. Crist in the Journal of Literacy Research, Volume 44, Issue 2. This podcast is now available from iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as our website, www.voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Crist. We invite you to join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes, peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, and post questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.